Jake, welcome back to another riveting episode of the Comixology Podcast.
The interview portion.
We have the biggest interview of all time right now.
Biggest ever.
I may say that every week, but it's true. We have, he's been called the professor by his, by his peers. We have Brian Michael Bendis. Welcome to the podcast.
I've also been called, are we allowed to swear on this?
Sure, I can edit it out.
Yeah, you can swear.
Because the other things I've been called would be swear words.
Okay, so. Yeah. We can save that for after show.
Very good to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks
great,
for coming on.
Great.
Big week. We had Avengers vs. X-Men number 0 drop out previously. Avengers vs. X-Men number 1 is out today.
No.
Today,
yes,
when
today.
This posts.
Oh, today, yes.
We're
when this posts.
We're bending time right now. My question to you, why gamble on something that, like Avengers vs. X-Men, why not choose something more commercially viable?
Well, we were going to go for Star Wars versus The Matrix, but it seemed that we didn't own those. So
right, the licenses.
Yet.
Yes, exactly.
No, but Avengers vs. X-Men is out. It's the biggest crossover I can think of probably since Civil War in terms of like major appeal to get new folks into shops. You know, where, how does it feel to be writing a book with, you know, five guys, five of your peers, to and having this be like almost the biggest event in Marvel history, I guess?
Well, again, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, these things tend to dictate on their own whether or not the size of it is dictated by the readers more than the advertising. But that said, yeah, this is, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of years, you know, it's one of those ideas that it does. It just sounds so yummy. But if it's not done at the right time with the right people for the right reason, it'll stink to high heaven.
Right.
You know, there's a bad version of this story that no one wants to see or be involved in. So we talked about it. And then you could just kind of feel like the Avengers stories were getting to a place where this would work, and the X-Men stories with Schism were headed towards a place where this would work, and everyone kind of started getting a little excited about it. And so it just seemed like the right time,
right?
Legitimately, and yeah, and then all that other stuff about getting new people in the stores, that's all great. That's all just makes you feel like, yeah, this is definitely the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
As far working with my friends, they had offered it to me to write, and I was flattered by that. But at the same time, I had done this a couple times with House of M, Secret Invasion, and others, and I thought everything I learned about myself as a writer that I wanted to learn, I felt for the moment I have. So I was kind of, you know, in every situation, I'm looking for new collaborations or new environments for me to kind of test my mettle and see where I stand as a writer. And at the time that me and Axel were talking about this, they had started that half embarrassing, half...
You mean the picture that's circulating on Tumblr of
yeah,
your...
It's both very... flattering and embarrassing that they decided to call us architects, and of course you're flattered because it's better than, you know, being on there's other lists you could be on that are much worse. And but yeah, that photograph was very embarrassing to us. We didn't know what it was for when we took it. No one believes us. We were this really long day. Most of us are jet lagged. They threw us into the cafeteria and lined us up on the wall and took a picture, and then all of a sudden it's there in the sky blue, and the good news is, and I must thank Mark Millar's picture of his Millar World guys is so much worse than his picture, and I really thank him for taking the shine off of ours.
Our fellow Comixology employee Mandy Boo, she's a hardcore in the Tumblr. So I see almost every day I go into the Tumblr dashboard, I literally will see a picture of you or someone else from that architect shoot smirking at me with that face.
Yeah, I'm sorry. First of all, I look like Frank DeCaro from The Daily Show from like 10 years ago. My wife just like saw it. She goes, this doesn't look like you. I go, I'm glad that in your head that's not what it looked like, but that might be exactly what it looked like. But that aside, the point was we were both embarrassed and flattered, and we thought, you know, we are all friends. We all do admire each other's work. Wouldn't it be – and I thought, wouldn't it be great if all of us did this book? Wouldn't that be cool? Could that be done? Is there a reason it hasn't been done before? But, you know, a lot of us have known each other a long time. I also felt it was nice that they offered it to me, but they also should offer it to Jason, who's doing X-Men, or you know, there's all of us have done X-Men and Avengers work.
Sure.
And it just seemed that maybe all of us should do it. And wouldn't that be cool? And doesn't that say something more about Marvel as it is right now, which is there's this wide bench of talent. On both from writers and artists, and let's just represent that as well. Let's make it more than just a bunch of, you know, the superheroes punching each other. Let's make a statement about creativity and artwork and how much we love superhero comics and mainstream comics.
And
I was happy they agreed.
Jason, I think Jason mentioned that everyone went out to Portland to chat about the books, you know, and like a planning stages. You live in Portland now. Is that anything like what I see in Portlandia on Netflix? Can you confirm or deny?
Yeah, Portlandia. For people in Portland, Portlandia is more like a documentary than it is a comedy show. But it was very nice. I hosted everyone at my house, and we sat and had Voodoo Donuts, which is our donut delicacy here in Portland. And we sat around a table. It was the five of us and Axel Alonso and Tom Brevoort and Nick Lowe, who's the ex-editor, and we threw out every idea we had and things that we wanted to accomplish and talk about. And if at the end of the little Portland retreat there wasn't anything there, we just move on. But it ends up there was more there than we could even hope for.
Right.
So it just made us feel it was definitely time to do this. And then we took it to New York for a larger retreat to talk to everybody about.
Now you're wrapping up your Avengers run soon. Did you ever think you would stay on Avengers for? I guess it's probably like looking back now, it seems like a long time. But you probably didn't even realize at the time. Did you ever think you would stay on for this long and have such a big run that will be the longest ever? I think, right?
Yeah, it is. I'm going to be, when I'm all said and done, I'm going to be in the 250 issue range.
Wow.
Tie-ins and annuals and such. I know some people don't count annuals. And
don't worry about them.
Issues of Siege, but you know what? I wrote them. It took a long time. I've always loved the creators that I tend to gravitate to in my youth, like Gil Kane or John Byrne, or people who like really like hunkered down and made a meal out of their job and took the characters on all kinds of varying adventures and stuff. Were the creators that I most admired. There's books like The Avengers or Spider-Man where that does feel like that's what you should do if you have the stories. If you don't have the stories, don't bother. But if you have the stories and the book's profitable for your publisher, that hanging in there and is a real blessing. Many times a day I will be like, wow, I get to write the Avengers, like the real Avengers that people see on the stands. It's a true honor.
Did you cry when you handed in the last script? Be honest with me right now.
I have not handed in the last script.
Oh, okay.
Oh my, are you going to cry? Are you planning on it?
No, that's what I do. I just, you know,
it just you just do it.
No, you know what it is. During events, you tend not to write too far ahead because there's so many moving pieces. You don't want to, you know, blow people's stuff up, you know, so I'll get there very soon, actually this month. But and I'm not in a hurry to, like, I don't kind of want to, but but it was in Portland where when we came up with Avengers vs. X-Men, I go, yeah, I guess that's it then. I guess I should stop. But you never know, like, when, like Ultimate Spider-Man every couple of years ago, should I stop? And I go, no, I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to not write this book. I love this book. So, I definitely feel it was. I said what I had to say. I did what I got to do. And working with Walt Simonson and the other guys I'm working with right now is certainly feels like I'm going out in style.
Yeah, absolutely. That cover from Walt was pretty sweet when I saw that pop up on Marvel.com.
you will soon see interiors, and they are gorgeous. Everyone is jumping up and down excited. And when I was a young man, I met him at a comic show, and he inspired me very pointedly to keep going and to do. And when I was in high school, would correspond with me and send me books on drawing and stuff to keep me going. And I desperately want to go back in time and tell 12-year-old me that this is happening right now. It's beyond, it's so beyond, you know, anything I'd hoped for. So,
yeah. And it's funny. It's funny that, you know, you talk to a few creators, and there's always, or even not just creators, but people in like the entertainment business. There's always like that one moment. I'm not sure if that's the one moment for you, but there's always something they can look back on where someone took time and they didn't have to push you along, and then, you know, that really went a long way in the end.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's and I can look back on quite a few people who inspired me with their generosity, and it has a lot to do with why I teach now, is because I'm like, oh, okay, do that. That's what it felt like. Do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really amazing that Walt, it was that person. Like I try to tell him that story. I was literally 12 years old. I was at another convention across the street that John Toddleben was the guest at, and I had my little crappy portfolio, and I was showing it to John Toddleben, and I remember my dad saying, "Wow, this convention's kind of empty." And John Talbot goes, "Oh, there's a big convention across the street with Walt Simonson." I said, "Walt Simonson!" I grabbed my shit and ran out.
Big cloud of dust.
I later became friends with John Talbot and got to apologize for that horrible thing that I had done. It's just grab my shit and run away from him. And then I ran up to Walt Simonson like out of breath with like hugging all of my drawings please tell me what I'm doing wrong. And he took me behind his table, sat me down, went through everything, showed it to other people who were like waiting for their signature.
Wow.
And talked to me and told me what to do and told me what to do next. And just if there was a moment, like I was already knee deep and I'm going to be a comic artist, but if there were ever a moment where, okay, that's it, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm in. It was that day.
That's cool.
And then years later, like after I'd won an Eisner or something, what day will I go up to Walt Simonson and thank him? Like I didn't know when to do it, right?
Yeah, that would be the perfect moment.
Yeah, and I'd won an award, and I had the Jinx graphic novel completed. It was a big brick of a book, and I walked up to him and I expressed everything I'm telling you, and I got him a little misty. I did. I thought, he didn't, of course, remember me, but he knew what I was talking about, and I just said I never knew what I was going to say. Thank you. This exists in the world because of you, and I'm doing this because of you. And thank you. And then we struck up an adult friendship over the course of the years I've been in comics. And the whole time he'd been at DC, and every time I talked to him, I go, "Let me know. I'll drop everything. Just let me know." And a few months ago, and said, "Did you mean it?" I go, "What do you want?" He goes, "I want to draw something big and." You know, I want big superheroes, and I want to draw Thor, and I go, I know exactly the book.
Hmm. The only thing I can think of in my life was when I went to a Mick Foley signing from the WWF, and I saw – I'm going to tell
that does not compare.
And I saw – do you remember Big Van Vader, the guy that used to wear the mask?
Yes.
I saw Vader, and I was like, "Hey, Mr. Vader, can I get an autograph?" And he's like, $25, kid, and he kept walking.
That is almost identically the same story.
It probably meant emotionally to me the same as your Walt story. So
now, both of them make me want to cry.
I joked earlier. I called you the professor, but you are a professor. I wasn't pulling anyone's chain. You're
yeah. No, I teach at Portland State University. All of Diana Schutz, who's executive editor of Dark Horse, is a college professor here, and I would come. Guest lecture her class, and then someone had said to Diana, "We want to start a graphic novel writing class," and she said, "Bully Brian into it. He's busy, but he should do it." And then I was, of course, flattered and realized that everyone I loved in this world was or is a teacher, so I should do it. And so I teach an advanced writing course for graphic novels, and I got to say, just this semester, which ended on last Friday. Best group of students I'd had yet.
Wow.
Really like reading their finals, which is a finished comic book. They have to make a finished comic. was some of the best comics I've read this year.
That's interesting. Oh, wow. Do they have to – how does that work? Do they partner up with each other in the class, or do they find some other people to help finish their book?
They have to find a way to produce a comic book either by hand or with the collaborators. Yeah. But they have to see their work in print finished.
I know a lot of my friends would have loved to have a graphic novel writing course.
I would kill for a class like that.
I think
that.
We'd all would. Hopefully we wouldn't waste people's time by going into it, though.
Yeah, but what I do is it's not a learn how to write like me, because I rather you didn't. But what I use the advantage of Portland being like a mecca of comic book creators and my friends, and I have a lot of guest lecturers come in and kind of drop truth bombs from all over the different planes of comic book existence. And like Matt Fraction comes in and Kelly Sue and Greg Rucka and David Mack and my friend Mike Oming and Diana comes in and they get to like literally ask the same question of like 10 different comic creators and find the answer that most suits them as a creator.
Right.
So it's all the different things you could do to write a comic as opposed to here's one way, which is what most classes are.
You do have a lot of friends that are in the business now. What are some books that you try to take time out of your day to read if you can?
Oh, I've been enjoying a great many things. A lot of my month has been dedicated to reading scripts for the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon and stuff I have to do for the Marvel movie committee. It's a lot of reading. It's a lot of fun reading. Not pulling teeth, but reading the scripts to Iron Man 3. And
real quick, I do want to say the trailer for the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it to come out. I'm very excited to have a television show that I've been working on actually be on television. That's exciting. As we continue our work on the Powers television show.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Manhattan Projects by Hickman.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. That was a nice, pleasant surprise. What else? Oh, but I love, holy crap. Do I love these, IDW artist edition books? The Wally Wood one.
Yeah.
What a treat. And talk about things that it's just like a miracle they exist. It's just, you can't believe it exists in the world.
We've had a few people on the show, and they have specifically mentioned that Wally Wood artist edition.
Oh, it'll rattle you! And on the same notion, and I don't see it a lot of places for some reason, but Daniel Close put out an art book called Modern Cartoonists. It's kind of a retrospective of his career from the same guys that did that awesome Jaime Hernandez art book, and it's quite wonderful and filled with stuff that people don't realize he's done.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that was out.
Yeah, no, I it's funny. I had it in my house, and a couple of my friends came over and saw it and went, "Where did you get this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I know." Even though Alan Moore hates everything and everyone, I'm very glad that DC put out DC Universe according to Alan Moore book.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that cover.
I've been hiding that hardcover on my desk.
It's all the Wildstorm stuff. And I'm sure if you ever heard my name, he would curse it. But still. So.
Professor Bendis, it's been an honor to have you on the podcast this week.
Well, thank you, guys.
We're all very excited for ABX.
I am.
I read the first issue sneakily. I think we both did. We greatly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking at the Infinite comic, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, may I say, I have nothing to do with that, but what a treat.
Yeah.
It's good.
I really enjoy it. I think it's going to surprise some people. But maybe we can get you on. Once the 12 issues are done, we can maybe do a recap and see if Alan Moore still hates you.
He doesn't know who I am. And if I may, can I be a little tiny whore? Because I'm doing some creator-owned books that
absolutely
need as much love and affection as they can get. And we're doing an all-ages book called Takeo. Which continues our graphic novel that you have on Comixology right this second.
We sure do.
If people could take a look at that. All ages means for everyone, not just for kids. So check it out.
Absolutely. That has to do with your daughter plays a part in that, right?
She co-created the book, and one of the characters is based on her. But it's about two sisters from a mixed-race family who both get superpowers. They're the only superheroes in the world, and they annoy the crap out of each other.
You're pretty much making it harder for every other father out there, since your daughter has a co-creator credit. and my son ate Pop-Tarts for lunch yesterday. So now he's just
going to... Well, you know, I for the first time ever, I went. I know you guys got to go, but I went to her class to do like a career day thing, you know, and I had all the kids create superheroes, and all a bunch of 9-year-olds, and they all created superheroes. And I would shame my friends if they saw these awesome superheroes these kids created.
Wow.
These bashed, unfettered imagination, just, you know.
That's awesome.
Not worrying about what's cool and what's not cool. Yeah. It was just fantastic. So.
That's great. No, but hey, man, I appreciate it. And all the best of luck with your creator on stuff, too. I can't wait for the ongoing to start.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. And we'll talk to you soon.
You got it.
How does it feel before we wrap up? I would be remiss to not ask for my friend Jonesy. You've been off of Daredevil for many years. How does it feel not having the Daredevil single title as one of your mainstays? Because that in like in a way I think about it, that used to be your Avengers in terms of how long you're on it.
Yeah, I tell you, it's funny. It's a very weird feeling that I often relate it to like a relationship, like a romantic relationship. It does often feel that you've broken up with your girlfriend for no particular reason other than you were just done. And now you have to watch while someone else does her. Every month someone else is going to do her. And some doing it very well and better than you.
Right.
And it's really the only book I've done that I was so invested in, and then all of a sudden you're not at all, mm-hmm. and it was Daredevil, and that's going to happen with me and Avengers. Like when I was doing Alias, it was done, and I'm doing Moon Knight, and it's done. So there's not like I don't have to watch anybody do anything to them, right. Or at least right now, right? So and it's probably 90% of the reason I'm still on Ultimate Spider-Man is like I don't want to.
Well, you don't want to sit on a chair and watch anyone with the character.
But Daredevil is a little different because everyone, you know, Daredevil is a book that demands the best out of creators, and it's almost like a spiritual thing. Like you're not allowed to be in the book unless you're killing it, you know. And, mm-hmm. and so it was easier on Daredevil because I was easing it into Ed Brubaker, who is a friend of mine. So it was like, and I was excited to read Ed's book. But then I would need to take a couple months off and read them in a stack because it did feel like he's effing my girlfriend right in front of me. So and we'll see how I feel about Avengers. That might be a little tougher,
right?
Too. So
we'll have to have
I'm
like
gonna kill all the Avengers that I really love. So that I can't do anything with them. But yeah, you know, it's a very weird thing. But you are, you know, like my friend Matt says, Fraction is a. You're a torch passer, and sometimes you go a long distance, but it's a relay race, and you just know that in your head that you will be passing this torch eventually to someone, unless you completely screw up the book and they get rid of it completely.